This is Indie Media on RCR FM 90.1. With me in the studio is Ray, of course, sitting in the middle of three ladies. We are going to be talking about various actions which happened last week. And, let's ask Farida, why are you here tonight?
Ooh. Well, we're here to talk about Thomas Nikoska and Dorendra Nadan, who were two men who were jailed in Fiji for gay sex, and the charge against them has just been quashed, and we've had several protests in Australia about this. And also, there was a National Day of Action on VSU last Thursday? Friday?
Mm-hmm. It was, yeah.
Yeah.
So, can you maybe give us a bit of a briefing on the Fijian situation? I know it's complicated and it probably takes 3.5 hours to actually talk about the whole thing, but could you just give us a brief update as to if it's easy enough to do about why you were why you had the action last week?
Well, last week was the day when the appeal on their case was heard. Like, they... Oh, I don't want to get too much into legalistic sort of mumbo-jumbo. I don't like that stuff anyway. But basically what happened, they were charged with gay sex, thrown into jail. A week later, they were thrown back out of jail. Thomas Nikoska was held under house arrest until his appeal was heard.
For 4 months.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. The 26th was the day when it was taken to court and... the charge was quashed. We just protested on that day because that was the day when the judgment was being handed down. And we were most jubilant on that day when we went out to protest, and we're here. We've had this victory, so that was excellent. Yeah, and also, as well as the charge against them being quashed, the law that they were charged under was found to be unconstitutional. So, in effect, well... Okay, it's legal to have gay sex in Fiji, basically. It's a bit complicated.
It seems like to me, we've talked about this before with Linda, and it seems like it's not illegal, but it seems to be at a judge's discretion as to whether it's okay or not, and whether they hand out sentences, I suppose. I'd like... Yeah, it's not on the list of countries to be wary of.
Mm. From my understanding...
I might just introduce Belinda Cooper.
Oh, hi, everyone. From my understanding, it was the judge that made this situation, chose to take this situation to the level it did. Mm. So constitutionally, it was fine until it was tested. And this is a case that did test it. And such a positive result came out of it from the individual case scenario. I was in shock. I was like, wow, good news. Wow. Oh, my God, something happened. And... it was a bit unnerving for us standing outside the Fijian consulate in Perth. This a group of us and the federal state police in their undercover gear with the mace and the thing.
Wow.
Was like, oh, we better behave. We really better behave because they will arrest us. Very nice to us, just they will mm-hmm. arrest us. That was unnerving, but it was groundbreaking for also having such international support for these two guys. It was a human rights issue. And it was groundbreaking because it brought to light the warning travel guides for Australia was found lacking in many areas.
In terms of Fiji, travel to Fiji.
Rod really did bring that from GoWA, did bring that to light.
Mm.
What was the media response like to the entire issue?
Was there one?
There was a little bit. The queer press in Sydney has been very good on this issue. Like, that was how it was brought to light in Australia, was the front page article on the Sydney Star Observer. Also, since this charge has been quashed, there's been articles in The Age and the Sydney Morning Herald. The mainstream press hasn't been as good as the queer press.
Yeah, don't you find it sort of a little bit hypocritical? For instance, someone like Chappelle Corby is in jail in Indonesia for actually committing a criminal act, and yet... we have someone here that was doing the right thing, was actually going to the police to inform them that he'd had some money stolen from him, and he ends up being arrested and put under house arrest and so forth. And simply what appears to be the fact that he's gay doesn't get as much sort of media response in Australia, even though he's an Australian.
It's like the ugly drug smugglers don't get their mugs on TV either.
And the Australian government said this. Sorry, the Australian government was saying there's nothing they could do, and so basically the media did nothing. And basically I think it's just about it's obviously about selling papers, like models on just drugs charges in Indonesia have been found to sell lots of papers, so they're going to milk it as much as they can, I suppose. Something like this doesn't, so it's all about profit again.
Definitely, always is with the corporate media. That was a
captain. I kind of feel sorry for real journalists. I mean, there's obviously a pressure real journalists, the actual ones who do spread in actual doing informing news, that they're limited by what they can actually follow up. I mean, from my understanding of the Corby case, they just didn't want to talk about it anymore. They couldn't find any new angles. I mean, they were just regurgitating the same stuff over and over again.
Let alone the exclusivity rights and things like that were going on with Chappelle,
And they weren't allowed to give a negative angle at all, from my understanding.
Yeah. Okay, so that was that one. That was that, and there was a positive outcome for that. Now,
Can I say something else on that? Like, this is a victory for now. However, Rodney Croom wrote a really interesting article. He reckons this is only the beginning. There's going to be a massive backlash from the Conservatives in Fiji over this, and, like, there's going to be, like, The law's been found to be unconstitutional. However, it hasn't been repealed. It's still on the books, so there's still a bit of legal ambiguity. And Rodney reckons this was the same as the same sort of scenario as what happened in Tasmania, like on the way to gay law reform. And there was a period when the laws were still on the books. The same sort of situation. And just the Conservatives, the Conservatives in Tasmania just milked that for all it was, those laws for all they were worth. Just
And we've seen similar things happen in Western Australia as well as gay law reform.
It's just generally having to fight tooth and nail for every inch of ground you gain, and you have to fight again to keep it. And then again, it's almost driving us into exhaustion, trying to just fight for very basic human rights.
Which is exactly what it's all about. It's human rights.
Yes, I mean, the equality laws were put in, 20 years ago or more? And still we're trying to put them through, actually apply them in our law system.
You can hear more about this sort of stuff on The Queer Show, which is on tomorrow night between 7 and 8, with Bobby Fletcher. tune in for that for more queer rights stuff. Now, last week also was an action against the VSU.
Voluntary Student Unionism. Yes.
How'd that go?
The National Union of Students have been pushing this campaign, fighting for every tooth and nail there. There's a general nationally, there's a general feeling of almost exhaustion of hitting ourselves against the brick wall. With the ALP as well, I mean, we have factions within the NUS, so we have all political grounding covered within our own student community. There's people who say that they did the right thing. Some people say they don't. So on that issue, there's internal feeling of just trying to fight to keep our guilds. Is this a continual struggle and battle? I know, for instance, on Thursday, I was personally exhausted. I fell asleep in the road outside the Liberals' office because I was like, well, police were just like you guys aren't very happening. Like, yeah, we're here. We're protesting. We're here.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? I remember back in 93 when they, I think it was 93, 94, when they actually brought in VSU or a version of it to Western Australian universities.
It was about 2000 they were applying it, yeah.
Yeah, and it was difficult enough then to try and get people mobilised, but you'd think, although it seems to be a bit of a brick wall, really, with Howard's Senate.
Well, there was people there. That was not the issue. It is this almost disheartening thing with the Liberals in the Senate. It feels it's a general feeling of, like, that's how it is. So it's hard to...
Let's not talk about how hard it is and how exhausted we are, though, because that's bad for morale. We're fighters, and we...
Go, fairly.
It's all right.
Like, the Labor Party sellout was completely disheartening and horrible, and they've totally, this is a total sham, absolutely predictable. They were going to do this from the beginning. It's the same as what they did on Iraq, it's the same as what they did on the same-sex marriage stuff. They've sold us out yet again, which is, I suppose, in the long term it's good in the bigger picture because they're exposing themselves and people can see them for it, and the more they expose themselves, the more people they're inclined to revolt. However, for now, it's this rotten thing they've done and we're not happy. And I was really impressed that 50 people occupied Labor Party headquarters in Melbourne on the day of on the VSU NDA.
Yeah, right.
Oh yeah, it's awesome.
No, Farad is definitely right. I mean, like, there's lack of energy, but we're still there. We're still, I mean, if you ignore it.
I've got energy.
Okay. She's going to whip me into action here. Oh dear, we got kinky.
It's getting sexy in the RTR studios.
How you going, hon?
Okay, so where do we go from here with VSU, though? What's next with that?
At this stage, there will be another protest in a few weeks' time. Bunbury campus wants, in WA specifically, would like us to go down to Bunbury campus and have a protest there, so we try and push forward. Also, there's talk of perhaps instead of having a rally, having some other action to take place. Mm. This is all just talk at this point, but there's definitely still momentum and movement still happening. So it is mobilising people. A lot more people know about VSU because of this whole campaign for the year, what their guild represents, and how it will affect if it does come into action, and what they can do about it. There's so many things on so many levels people can do about getting up and talking about stuff. I mean, just from forwarding an email to writing an email to making a phone call to turning up to something to just talking to people on an individual basis about stuff, I think people forget how important their individual voice can be.
Definitely.
And there's this overwhelmed kind of capitalist world. They do have a voice and use it.
Mm, definitely.
I think as far as what's next goes, I think the thing that'll make or break this, especially now the Labor Party have done this, is the IR stuff. If trade unions couldn't put up a really good fight about these IR reforms and also come on board the VSU campaign, because the links between VSU and the IR and attacks on trade unions are so it's so obvious. So the trade unions can bring the system to its knees. They have that power to stop production. And if
we love that power.
Yeah, so that's gonna be the thing. So we're planning on maybe having when the next IR rally comes up, it'd be really good to have a huge VSU block there.
Mm.
Definitely. We actually had the unions people come down the VSU rally on Thursday, and they've been supporting us all the way. It's been a two-way street there. So, I mean, it's just passionate to know that we are all connected. This is an attack on so many levels.
Definitely. And once again, it's back to human rights, really.
Definitely.
We're talking with Belinda Cooper and Farida and Cat in the background there, and we're just going to play an ad.